Hi, we're Tom and Tresta from Call to Learn, and this is our table talk discussion number 47.
Yes, welcome.
So, what are we talking about today?
So
Look at
today we're going to be talking about remembering the source is still the topic for this month. And this month is going to be or today we're going to be talking about laying a foundation and how to lay a foundation. And so God is our foundation, right? So why we're laying a foundation is what God, how you can put God into every subject and everything that you learn.
Okay, cool. And now I'm going to interrupt with a commercial interjection. Not
A
really. Not
commercial.
really.
Okay, let's
No, I
see.
just want to say happy Sinterklaas.
Oh, yes, I wanted to say that
So happy Sinterklaas, everybody. What's Sinterklaas?
too. Sinterklaas is the Dutch holiday for Santa Claus. They celebrate the 5th and the 6th of December. They celebrate Santa Claus, where Santa Claus comes and brings gifts and
So over
sees
that
who's naughty and
night.
nice. Yeah,
So
over the
technically it
night.
happened yesterday to today.
Yes. And then on the 24th and 25th of December, they celebrate Jesus Christ
And I
and the
know there's
birth of Christ.
others. I know Germany does it at the same time. Don't remember the name of theirs, but it's just kind of fun. And so that we
Yes, we
celebrate
do.
that every year with our family. In fact, we're having a big Sinterklaas party here at the house today.
Tonight, yay,
Tonight.
I'm so excited. Yeah, it's when we invite everybody over and they bring gifts and they write poems and we share our poems with each
And that's
other.
kind of the big thing, is
It's
that
fun.
it's a poem, just having fun together, but having sharing the gifts aren't even doesn't they don't even matter. It's the poem that
Yeah,
matters.
the poem is what makes it. And it's so much fun. We laugh and giggle all night long. It's so fun.
Yeah, so
And
that
it's for the whole family. So we have the little kids being writing poems and the big kids writing poems and the
and the
adults writing
parent, yep.
poems. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. If you've ever been, you'll know. I mean, we've done several for the community, and if you've been, you can remember that it's just a lot of fun. All right. So back to today's
That's
discussion.
right. Okay, so how are we gonna do this? We thought we'd do something a little different.
A lot
And
different.
okay, yeah, it's a lot different. So what we're gonna do is that Tress is gonna show me some things. It's gonna be art pieces having to do with Christmas. Perfect timing of the year to do that. And we're gonna find the foundations, and I'm going to discover what my statement about it is. Something like
Well,
that.
or
How
what
do you
you've
say that?
learned.
What
Like
I've learned.
you're gonna conclude at the end of what you've learned from our discussion today.
Yeah, and how we found the foundation of the learning that we're about to do.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so in this little role play that we're going to be doing, I want you to look for a couple things. First of all, I want to review with you the overall learning pattern with you. So the first thing to do is, well, always, and this is like interweaving in between of it, is to remember revelation, right? To receive revelation. So you know what kind of questions to ask, where to go, where to look for, what to study, what anything. Your everything has received revelation woven in between it. Okay, so that's really the step. First step, you always return to revelation. But the first thing after that, the next thing that you need is to respond to curiosity, which means to ask questions, to bring
Well,
up fun
okay, so there
things.
had to have been some curiosity somewhere. Whether it's you're going to create it, like you're going to with me today,
Yes.
you're going to create it by showing me
Some
some
pictures.
art, some artwork.
Yeah.
And so somehow there's some curiosity, and from that we're going to
We're gonna
respond to
go,
that.
yeah, we're gonna respond. Yeah, we're gonna I'm gonna create the curiosity, and then once they ask the questions, the children or the husband in this case, ask questions, then we can ask more questions and more questions and lead them. Like leading questions to guide them into what they're thinking. And then once we have chosen something to study, then we're going to lay the foundation. Now, lay the foundation actually just means remember the source or to remember that there's God in this
Well,
subject.
or the way I understand it, and you'll see it as we do this, is what's God's purpose in this?
Yeah.
Why does he have us, why should we learn this from his perspective?
Yeah. Or why did he create it, right? Because he created everything. Or how does it represent him? Because everything represents him. So, yeah, we're just looking
So
for how
what
God
we're
is in
saying
this.
today is we're really showing how to use the gospel in your learning.
Yes.
Really,
Yes.
Like down to the nitty gritty.
We're going to get really down to a specific object.
And how we start.
And how that, and how God is in everything.
Okay.
All right. All right.
So let's get started.
Okay. So, so you know the tips, right? The first thing is you're always having revelation. The next thing is responding to that curiosity, building that curiosity, using artwork, using music, using just beautiful stories.
Because sometimes you're having a conversation and your kids will have a question and there's curiosity there.
Mm-hmm.
Other times they don't, and right. you need to create the curiosity. So right. you're going to create it.
Yes. All right. So the subject I've chosen is the Christmas story. And the reason why I chose a Christmas story today, not just that it's December, but because we had just finished reading the Christmas pageant, the best Christmas pageant ever. And my older kids were in the play, so they knew it really well. But in the story, my younger kids had just read it, and they had a great time. It's a wonderful story if you haven't read it. But one of the things that my kids pointed out, and they're like, how did they not know the Christmas story? Yeah, they didn't know about Mary and Joseph or baby Jesus? And that's actually
in the play, they do that too.
Yeah?
They didn't know that. How did they not know the Christmas story?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Like, we as Christians grew up knowing the Christian story, or the Jesus story, the birth of Jesus, since we were like born, right? Everywhere. But a lot of people don't know it. In fact, I was talking to my sister yesterday, and she teaches at a public school in Wisconsin, and she said, in order to start, that she just is reading the book too, and she goes, in order to start the book, we had to do a foundation of who is Jesus. And who is Mary? And who is Joseph? And where were they living? And where did they start? So she had to lay a foundation of the story. She says because 50% of her school did not know or had ever heard the baby Jesus story.
Hmm.
So anyway, so that it got me curious. Like, I want, yes, I'm sure all of you know this story, but I want to build upon that.
Right.
And so that's where we're going to go. So I have chosen, and I hope that you can see this, I have chosen several art pieces. This is one of my favorites. This is Rembrandt. Okay, can you hold it? This is Rembrandt, and he does etchings, and he did a whole Bible full of all of this artwork, and it's just so beautiful. Anyway, so we've got Rembrandt's piece here, and then we've got another one here. This is all of the scene of Mary and Joseph and the baby. So Tom, while you're looking at these, can you see? What do you see in them?
Well, obviously we're seeing Joseph and Mary and a baby. I mean, this one's, that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as different characters.
Yeah.
What
else do you see in the picture? How does that picture make you feel?
It's a very peaceful, this particular one's very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
There's joy. You see joy in the baby's eyes and face.
Yes, you do.
And peace with everyone else. Here I see a wonderment in Mary's face.
Mm.
But in Joseph's, I see just a pleased. He's just pleased with it.
Mm.
He's just satisfied with what he sees.
Yeah. Can you tell where Mary and Joseph are from by looking at these pictures?
I don't know that I mean, obviously they're are you referring to like what part of the world they're from?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell that they are I mean, with my background, I know that I can tell that they're from a Middle Eastern area.
Okay.
You know, they're wearing robes. They're not wearing, you know, they're from a time period. I can tell the time period is not current.
That's what I was going to ask, the time period, yeah.
It's back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that it's 2,000 years ago,
but... yeah. Okay, so anciently when they used to wear lots of loose clothes.
They're heavy clothing, too. Mm-hmm. They're not light fabrics like
yeah,
we have.
Yeah. Here's the other one on this side, too.
Oh. Didn't know we were showing both on that one.
Yeah.
I And this one has cattle, and every one of these has what the baby is laying in the manger in all of these.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. And notice the mangers.
This one's really low, and it's tipped so that you can see the baby Jesus.
Okay.
This one you really can't tell. There's just a lot of hay, straw.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a wooden manger with a straw poking out at the bottom. This one I can't tell what the manger's out of because all around it, from the baby outward, is all straw. So you don't really see the manger, you just know there is one.
Yeah.
Again, this one, you don't really see it either.
Yeah, it's just the swaddling clothes there.
Swaddling clothes, yeah. Just down to the manger.
In the book, they talk about swaddling clothes, and they think, Imogene in the book says, why did they tie them all up really tight like that?
Of course, we know why.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what I mean by that is having had babies,
mm-hmm.
having had children.
They love that tight feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What kind of manger is that one?
Well, I can't really tell because there's something in this area right below the Christ child that it looks like it's a wool thing laid over.
Yeah, it does.
And then it's wooden. Wooden posts there mm-hmm. that we're seeing. Again, this one we can't tell what the manger's made of. So most of the time you really can't tell.
Yeah, most of the time it's kind of hidden behind hay or something like that.
Yeah, and this one's hidden with the swaddling clothes that aren't swaddling him.
Right, right.
Just laying out. So.
Yep, exactly. All right, so. In the book, we talked about how Imogene didn't know what a manger was, and neither did her brothers. And they're asking, so what is a manger anyway? So how would you describe what a manger is?
I would just say it's the first word that came to mind, which is not, is it's like a feeding trough type thing
okay.
that you put hay in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to my languages.
Okay, go to your language. All right.
Because it's French. I think it comes from the French.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've looked up the etymology on it, but it's manger is to eat.
Oh,
and
awesome.
So
that's interesting.
The manger, mm-hmm. mange, it's spelled practically the same.
Yeah.
With an R at the end instead, but manger.
Okay. Well, okay, so it means to eat, so a place to eat.
Yes.
That's where the
animals
went to eat,
yeah.
right?
And,
yeah,
and in everything that it's depicted with, it's always they're eating some kind of hay or mm-hmm. straw type thing.
So do you think it's done on purpose that Jesus was laid in a manger?
Well, yeah, actually, I do think that.
Okay, why?
Well, because we're always taught about feasting on the word.
Mm-hmm.
There's later after Christ is grown and finished his ministry, he teaches of the sacrament, which is to eat,
mm-hmm.
Eating of his, partaking of his flesh, so
okay.
to speak.
Okay.
So it all has it's very symbolic. I mean, he is there placed to be taking in all of his that he has to give us.
Mm-hmm. Changes of that. All right. Well, so let's also look up what it says in the 1828 dictionary. So
okay.
what it says about the manger. So here's our big book. If you want to look that up real quick. So notice, I'm just going to take a little break around here. Notice that Tom is an adult, right? The children aren't going to make these connections that he's made with his languages and with his knowledge of the gospel. But anyways, it doesn't matter. The adults, no matter their subject, you can still be guide them and teach them. So here we're going to be laying the foundation now. So we've picked a subject of mangers, And now we're going to be looking and finding about what a manger is and laying that foundation of why did God choose a manger, if we can find that, and what we're going to be going at learning about mangers. So did you find it?
Yeah, the first thing it says is it's from the French, manger.
All right. Okay.
Or to eat. Uh-huh. A trough or box in which fodder is laid for cattle. Or the place in which horses and cattle are fed.
Okay. So a place to where you go to eat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the 1828 dictionary, if you remember, is the bridge to the scriptures. But we also know that the scriptures already have the word manger. So really, we just need to know the definition of what a manger is. Here we know that that's where the cattle go to eat. So if you go to the scriptures then, in the scriptures we find out in Luke 2:7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." So now we know that he's being laid in a manger. Let's see if there's other scriptures. In Luke 2:12 we see, "And this shall be a sign unto you that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Now this puts on a little bit different twist, right? Swaddling clothes and manger are now a sign. Mm-hmm. What's a sign?
It's telling you something that's telling you that it's something that gives you direction or tells you what something else is. Mm-hmm. You know, a sign on a road is to tell you where to go or what to do. A sign if you go into a gallery or something, you're going to have a sign that tells you about what you're looking at.
Yeah. Or a sign on the store that says, "Hey, you are now at 7-Eleven.
Well,
oh,
right.
Yay, I've arrived.
Or when you're looking at a big map and it's got, you know, it's a map that is posted somewhere and they have the "you are here" symbol.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a sign saying.
Yeah, sign that this is what you need. So the shepherds now know the sign. Once they see it, they know that they're arrived.
Yes.
So they're looking for a baby in a manger.
Wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Isn't that funny? how often are you going to see a baby, a human baby, in a manger? That's pretty drastic, right? That doesn't happen.
Well, and so, especially now. But even then,
it's not
a common thing. I mean, if they had not been in a stable type situation, if they had been in an inn or in their home,
yeah,
he would have been laid in some other manner, some type of a bassinet type thing,
or
I would imagine, or crib type
or
thing.
Something. Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so those there's another one too. So Luke 2:16 it says, "And they came in haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." So they found him in the manger. So now we have three verses of where God uses his son in a manger. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty significant. So let's find out now what the prophets have said about mangers.
Okay, so we find the prophets.
And President Hinckley, in the Teaching of Things, he says, "And he was the Prince of Peace who left his heavenly home, left his heavenly home, to be born in mortality in a simple manger." Mm-hmm. So even the prophets knew and understood that there's a manger. All right, so now, what kind of manger do you think it is? We saw lots of different pictures and things. What kind of manger do you think it was?
Well, they always talk about him. It was a simple thing, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We always hear that he was a carpenter, but he didn't build this. He wasn't around for this. Joseph and Mary came to the place, and it was there.
Right.
So it would have been however they made them for that. I mean, when we were growing up, at our house, we had horses, and horses and goats and whatnot. And there we had a manger-like thing. I mean, a place for the hay to be. But it was fastened to the wall, and it was made out of wood strips. We also lived in a house that had an old carriage house, and the slats that were there were made out of iron. They were like bars. Okay. Like rebar size.
Yeah, yeah.
Bars. What would they have had then? I don't know.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they're depicted with some kind of wooden box.
Or but there's also could be stone, because there's lots of rock in that area too.
Well, in fact, there's not very much wood in that area.
Yeah, that's true.
There's mostly stone.
Yeah, that's very true. So in this book, it's called Good Things of Great Joy. There's a picture of a manger.
You just have to make it so that it
doesn't get the light on it.
Yeah.
So the manger here is stone. It's stone. So I'm like, why in the world would they have a stone manger here? It doesn't talk much about it in the book. It just has this picture. So I decided to go and look up, you know, what is it? What is the manger made out of, stone or wood? I was curious.
Well, that's kind of fascinating, because on the front of the book, there's a picture as well. Yeah. And it's a wooden one.
Yep. So, yeah, so what is it? I don't know if we'll ever know. But it was interesting to me to know that different types of, different artists did their research and wanted to know. And Joseph Bricky is one of my favorite artists, and he said this about the manger. He says, the manger was carved of stone, not of wood. It was a symbol of obedience to ancient Israel. Cradled in a stone manger in a humblest of settings, the babe of Bethlehem came not to be the king of substance, but to be the king of souls. And I thought, well, he did his homework and he found out that he believed it was stone, right? And so I thought, well, let's look at some of his paintings then, and to see what kinds of paintings he did. So in his book, when it's in Joseph Bricky's book, it's called When Jesus Was Born in Bethlehem, there are a couple of manger scenes here, and they are all of stone. And then the next one is on the next page, where he's actually, baby Jesus is actually looking at us.
They are beautiful ones.
Yeah. So I think this is incredibly rich with symbolism. Right? What kind of symbolisms can you pull out of what we've talked about so far?
Well, a stone is often a strong foundation. So if it's made of stone, the manger, to me it's interesting that it was said specifically a manger, because that does mean to eat.
Yeah.
It's not just, I mean, they could have said a feed trough. They could have said, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it specifically uses the word manger.
Yeah.
So I'm drawn to it being very significant that it was a manger. And we later, he is going to give his life, and the sacrament will be in remembrance of that. And we will take that in. And we're supposed to learn of him. We're supposed to feast on his words.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about Christ that so often is used, feeding and everything. So yeah. I think it's extremely, like, it was not accidental.
No.
It was on purpose. It wasn't that Mary just put him there, just as far as Mary and Joseph were concerned, laying him in the manger might have just been the logical thing because of where they were. But God set it up.
He set it up. He orchestrated it. Yeah.
So that's exactly what would happen.
And the right words were used in the scriptures at the right times. Yeah.
So to me, this whole thing is, you know, you've got the strength of the stone, you've got the foundation. Mm-hmm. So that is his foundation for that moment.
Yeah.
He's laying in it. It is a manger, the eating.
I love the word to internalize. Right? Yeah. If we can take God's characteristics and internalize them into us and have us emulate his characteristics, that's, to me, a real significant. Internalizing, eating, partaking of the sacrament, eating the manger, everything, is that internalizing is the word.
So that's what I got out of it.
Okay.
With those things. So what I learned for today was specifically that I I was already going, because of the manger word and everything, towards the internalizing and all that. But the newest part was the stone being a foundation.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, he may have been born in the lowest of circumstances, but there was still a solid foundation.
Upon a rock, yeah. And he was called the rock of our salvation. Mm-hmm. The other word is also that we could use here is he was called the living bread, or the life of bread, bread of life. And he was born in the Bethlehem, which means house of bread.
Right.
Right? So house of bread, he was in the bread, yeah.
I mean, like his whole birth had to do with partaking.
Mm-hmm. Ready for us, yeah, exactly. All right, so now could you write something up about the things that you've learned today?
Yes, I could have.
Could have.
I didn't.
No, I know you didn't.
I could.
But you could.
Yes.
All right, so let's do a little review then. So what just happened, right? So we looked at some pictures, found some beauty, picked out something that we wanted to study about, went to the 1828 dictionary. Then what did we do?
Then we looked for scriptures. Now, in the 1828 dictionary, what we read, it didn't have scriptures to explain it. But lots of times, you probably already know this, there are scriptures already there.
Oh, yeah,
so that's what's so nice about it, is you can immediately take those, go to those scriptures first. Mm-hmm. Then as you're looking up the scriptures, you'll find other ones to go with. So mm-hmm. you go to the scriptures, then the prophets.
Yeah, and you find out what...
So you're going to the ancient prophets, the scriptures,
yeah.
then to the modern prophets.
Which is all laying a foundation, right? You're laying a foundation of what you're now going to be able to learn anything, right? Now you can go to Google, because the foundation that God is involved in this subject.
Well, and in this particular case, what we're learning, what I'm seeing we're learning is, we're learning that it's not just that he was laying in a manger so that the shepherds would know where to find him, you know, or anything like mm-hmm. that. It was, he's laying in a manger as a message to the world.
Yeah.
From then on.
Yeah.
To understand the importance of mm-hmm. of his birth or of his whole entire life.
To internalize what he's giving mm-hmm. us. It's like God is giving us his son as a gift for us to internalize.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Okay. it's complete.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
And yet, with all of that... Did you know that there's kind of a fun thing that happens? So we get all of this. We have that great foundation. But there's, you know, it starts with curiosity. And I'm curious because what Bricky said, Joseph Bricky, when he said, the manger is carved of stone, not of wood, as a symbol of obedience.
Yeah.
We didn't discuss that.
No.
We would have had to
look
that up.
There's a lot to discuss. We have to stick to what
I'm doing. And so I looked at it and thought, oh my goodness, there's more we have to figure out here.
Yeah.
And so it just brought to a new curiosity. I just wanted to point out that it brought us in a
full
circle.
It'll lead to us. It'll lead back to more curiosity. Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for number 47. And next week, we're going to be doing some more of this, laying more foundation, learning things. And our theme is going to be Christmas still. So,
okay.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.